You're listening to Ambition Out Loud, the podcast for ambitious women tired of being underestimated and undervalued at work. Together, we're tackling workplace sexism, our own insecurities and self-doubt, and getting practical advice to move our careers forward. I'm your host, Nicole Magoo, and I'm an ambitious woman.
Swing. You should have seen that final show. I'm gonna go down swinging, and long after I am gone, when you hear that melody, you'll still remember me. That's how this girl is gonna carry on.
Hello, everyone. It is so good to be back here talking to you again after what has been a very long period of time. You know, similar to you, we've just all been trying to make our way through this pandemic kind of life we've been living. And we've been doing a lot of that through our other channels within the Ambition Unboxed community. So if you're not already tapped into the Ambition Unboxed Facebook group or following us on Instagram, you know, you're missing out on a lot of the events that we've put on over the last year or so, as well as, you know, the launch of Ambition Unboxed Career Cohorts, which we're in session two of right now. If you're not familiar with that, that is our membership program. I like to think of AU Career Cohorts as almost like an incubator program, but for your career. It's a career accelerator group and peer mentorship program that we run. And so if you haven't already joined the Ambition Unboxed Facebook group or tapped into the community through one of these other channels, I definitely recommend you do that so that you're not missing out on some of the other exciting things that we've got planned for you. Now, on to the reason why we are back today. As you know, I'm sure you've heard, it's been almost impossible to ignore. COVID had an outsized impact on women's careers. By a lot of measures, what we have read is that this has been the most historic period in time, really, as far as women being pushed out of the workplace in a lot of cases. You know, we were nicknamed it a she session for a really long time. The fact of the matter is, whether by force or by choice in, you know, air quotes there, because when the schools and the childcare options shut down, there really were no good choices available to women in that moment. We all had a very difficult year. It was just a matter of choosing our difficult, right? Like those of us that stayed employed and still shuffling the childcare responsibilities, those of us that left the workforce to focus on the childcare responsibilities, it doesn't matter what choice you made during the pandemic. We were all just choosing our own version of hard at that moment. But things are starting to move, you know? We're starting to see a decline. Even in the Delta variant here in the US, we're hopeful that we're turning a corner there and things are going to continue to get better. And so I'm sure there are, and I'm hearing that there are many women who are ready to start thinking about what does life in the new normal, the new COVID is part of it, but we're starting to get back to some semblance of what everyday living could look like again in the future. What does that look like for me? And is it a good time to start thinking about going back to work? And we've heard lots of talk, you know, everyone has said there's a really hot job market. If you are considering it, now is definitely a good time to be thinking about getting back into the workplace. And so that's what we're here for today. We're here to provide tools and resources and support to any of you, any member of our community, that is considering or is ready to take that leap and return to the workforce. This has been a very historic point in time for women's careers and for women in the workplace. And it will have lasting repercussions. There is no doubt about that. When we have women in such large numbers having to pause on their careers, that's going to have long-term repercussions. But we have opportunities like this today where we can band together and we can do what we say. We can actually live in alignment with our values of women supporting women, and we can show up for one another, and we can do the work to try to minimize that long tail of impact and help get people back to where they were, help get your career back to where it was as quickly as possible. Can we guarantee anything? No. I wish I was a magician and I could wave my magic wand and make everything better for everyone. That's not real. That's not reality. But what we can do is just continue to show up for each other like this. And so that's why we're here today, is because we have launched our Get Hired Challenge. If you haven't already heard of it, you're going to want to go to gethiredchallenge.com, because that's where you're going to get access to all of the resources for the challenge today that we've put together. And this podcast episode is the official kickoff. So here's what you're going to find in the challenge. We've set up women who are volunteering to do everything from review your resume and provide feedback to conduct mock interviews with you. We've got some live Q&As that will be happening in the Facebook group. And all of our podcast contributors today have also created an additional resource or tool to help you action on what you're going to hear on the podcast episode today. And let me just tell you, these women are leading with value first. We say these things, these women are trying to embody our beliefs. So you will need to put in an email address to get access to the tools. You will not be auto-subscribed to anything. The only emails you're going to be auto-subscribed to are the ones for this challenge. This is not a strings attached challenge. This is, you come in, it's a password, you know, password protected. You got to get access to it so that I got to have an email address to tell you where to go find the resources. But once you're in, you'll have access to all of those resources there at a click of a button to download several workbook style resources. We got a video in there. We've got just so much good stuff for you. Resume Rescue 101, all of these awesome tools available for you. And then, because it would be unkind, right? It would be unkind if you need more help in one of these areas to give you this little teaser of help and then not tell you how to get more. That would be unkind. It would be like going to Trader Joe's and having an amazing morsel of cheese and then going over to the deli counter and finding out they don't have any more of it for sale. That would just not be nice. And I'm not going to do that to you, because some portion of you might actually be looking for additional support beyond what we can provide to you in this podcast and challenge. So you're not going to be auto-subscribed to anything as part of this challenge, but what you are going to have is the opportunity to go and find the contributors from the challenge that most resonate with you and that you might be interested in continuing a dialogue and a conversation and a discussion with, and you can go select who you want to continue that relationship with going forward. So there are also what we're calling next step options, where you can go in and it'll tell you, hey, if this is the information, if this is the support you need more of in your life right now, this is how you get in touch with this person. These are additional resources they might have available for you. And this is how you keep that conversation and relationship going forward into the future. But again, we are following a year in the driver's seat model here. So you will not be forced subscribed into any of this stuff. You're going to have to take control in the driver's seat and go in and intentionally choose which of these relationships you want to take forward into the future. And on that note, I think it's time to get into the meat and potatoes of today's challenge episode. One of the things that I really loved putting this challenge together for you was just all of the different personalities and styles that you'll see come through in our contributors. It is a very diverse set of people that we had the privilege of working with on this. And I love just the stylistic differences you're going to hear in a lot of these segments as well. So definitely recommend you stick it out to the end, because each of the segments is relatively short and no one segment is like another segment. April Frazier is our first expert today. April is a confidence coach who spent 18 years leading software development teams before pivoting into her true passion, coaching. Now she runs Forward Coaching. As a woman in tech, April understands imposter syndrome, and her segment will challenge you to think differently about yourself and the value you bring to a new role. I wanted to kick us off with April today because her segment is about so much more than overcoming imposter syndrome. It's about opening your mind to possibility. In my experience, effective job searches walk a fine line between being appropriately selective, as you'll hear in a little bit, and also staying open to opportunities that might not have been on your radar. April reminds us to mind our mindset and to leave a little room for a little bit of magic. After her segment, head over to the Get Hired Challenge Hub to download April's guide to overcoming imposter. Remember, to get access to these resources, head to gethiredchallenge.com and we'll send you the login information.
Hello, my name is April Frazier, confidence coach and founder of Forward Confidence Coaching. I want to talk to you about my client, Dawn, who came to me because she said, April, jobs are hard to get. And in fact, they had been for her. She was submitting resumes, but not getting far along in the interview process or not getting a call at all. She felt that she had special circumstances. Being a mom, she had requirements for how far away from home she wanted to work. She needed a flexible work schedule. And she felt that her skill set was this really eclectic mix, a collection of things that didn't fit easily into any singular job description. And honestly, she was right. But in the time that we worked together, really, by the time we finished working together, she went from jobs are hard to get to getting 3 job offers in a week without ever submitting a resume. How did she do it? The first thing and most important thing was shifting her mindset from jobs are hard to get to jobs are easy to get. And did anything change in her external environment? Were jobs suddenly more abundant? Did the market come up? Did some major employer come into the market and have a bunch of jobs that were perfect for her eclectic mix of skills? No. She changed her belief from jobs are hard to get to jobs are easy to get. And changing that belief changed her feelings and allowed her to be in a place of empowerment, such that when she would go to networking events or she'd go to mixers and she would show up differently, detached from the outcome and focused on, hey, how can I help you solve that problem? She went from trying to fit in to owning that she was an ad. And that is ADD, owning her ad, owning that she had a special mix of qualities and characteristics and experience that made her an addition, a powerful, useful, diverse addition, even with outfitting cleanly into a job description. In fact, that was part of her power. And she began to leverage it by owning it and then showing up differently. And the results were she got 3 jobs, offers in a week without ever submitting a resume. Why do I tell you this story? Because in the job search, sometimes the inner imposter comes up. And if you've been struggling with the job search, maybe this has happened to you. And the imposter, honestly, most high performers suffer from feeling like a fraud or feeling like an imposter. And in reality, being an imposter or feeling like an imposter is a gift. It drives you to perform well. It signals that you care deeply about the impact. You're driven to create strong connections with your team and show up really well and create experiences for the company and the organization, your team, and yourself. But as you know, while imposter, feeling like an imposter can be a gift, it can also disempower you. And a lot of times that's where people find, they find themselves saying, I feel like an imposter. It disempowers you. To overcome imposter is an inside job. And that is to say, the way to overcome it is to shift your thoughts, shift what you believe. Just as Dawn shifted from jobs are hard to get to jobs are easy to get, and it changed her feelings. It changed how she approached the search, and it magnetized what she was looking to create. And so I invite you, mind your thoughts, notice what thoughts cause you to feel like an imposter, how they influence your feelings, and then how they influence how you show up. And if you want to shift it, that's a place to start. Own your ad. Who you are uniquely with your wild unicorn experience. Even if you don't have a lot of experience, you are an expert on you. You are an expert on your skills and what you bring. And there's something that you add. You've got to own that add. And if you'd like help to shift, then I invite you to go to forwardcoaching.com, FRWDcoaching.com/get hired. And let's have a conversation. Go ahead and get help to overcome the feeling of imposter. Notice what you're feeling, notice your thoughts, and get in your most powerful energy to own your ad.
Jennifer is up next. Jennifer Hoka is the founder of J. Hoka Group, LLC, where she helps people achieve their career goals, one resume, career strategy, and development training at a time. Jennifer has some great advice to share with us on how to curate your resume so that, one, it stands a chance of actually being seen by someone, and two, it helps you tell a compelling story about why you're a good fit for the job. I want to emphasize something Jennifer shares in her segment. I review a fair number of resumes, and I too see a lot of resumes that read more like a job description than a list of accomplishments. If resume writing is an area where you struggle, then head over to the Get Hired Challenge Hub and download Jen's Resume Rescue 101 guide. It addresses common resume mistakes and frequently asked questions.
Hey there, I'm Jennifer Hokut from J. Hokut Group, and I am your career strategist, leadership development trainer, and motivational butt kicker. I rescue clients from professional isolation, one career strategy, resume, and development training at a time. And I'm here to talk to you about the resume. You know, that sexy, exciting document that everybody loves to work on. Right. I know there's nothing sexy and there's nothing exciting about a resume. And it's also not something most people look forward to. But in understanding what your resume really is will help you configure what next step you need to take in order to secure your next big opportunity utilizing your resume. So let's get into it. The formal definition of a resume is a marketing document that introduces your qualifications and skills to potential employers. I believe that your resume is a tool that aids in winning an interview. It's your career story in a Cliff Notes version. You have limited space and opportunity to convey your awesomeness, and you get one shot to make a good impression all on paper. No pressure, right? So for me, I always tell my clients it's a tool to aid in securing an interview and moving you forward in the job application and hiring process. But you are the asset. You will secure the offer and win the job opportunity. Your resume is also a live working document, or it should be, right? So you need to be updating your resume with each promotion, achievement, or job change. I recommend reviewing your resume every quarter and making it a habit, part of your quarterly goal planning. If quarterly isn't doable, then no less than every 6 months. Listen, opportunity does not come knocking often, and when it does, you want to prepare for it. You want to be ready for that next big opportunity. The biggest mistake I see people make is not updating their resume for years, even decades, and then they find that they need it yesterday. Whether it's something that you decide for yourself, that you want to go through a career transition or move into your next opportunity, or you've been thrown into the job market unexpectedly, it takes time to craft a winning resume. And as we've established before, You get one chance to make a good first impression. Your resume absolutely needs to be stellar. So give yourself proper time and come from a place that is not riddled with anxiety and frustration and overwhelm. So now that we know what a resume is, let's talk about what a resume is not. Your resume is not your memoir or autobiography. Remember, it's your career story in Cliff Notes version. It's also not a list of your responsibilities. Now I know that doesn't seem right, but rather than listing your responsibilities, you want to focus on your accomplishments. What sets you apart from the many other candidates applying for the same opportunity? It's definitely not going to be your day-to-day job responsibilities. It's also not your aspiration diary. You want to focus on why you are the candidate of their dreams, not why they are the company of yours. I believe that a great resume has the power to change your life. And when you create an amazing story for yourself, you open the door to professional opportunities you've only ever dreamed of. I broke up with resume writing a long time ago. It just wasn't setting my clients up for success. I was writing the resume for them, and then they were needing to go into the job interviews speaking to a document of their career story that they did not write. So instead of writing resumes for people, I write resumes with people. And I have developed a program that helps you get from the starting point in identifying where you are currently in your resume and where you need to be for that next big job opportunity. Now, if you're wondering what some common mistakes are that people make on their resumes and how you can avoid them, or what the most frequently asked questions I get about resumes are, and what the heck is an ATS? By the way, that's the applicant tracking system, an artificial intelligence system that companies use in order to review mass amounts of resumes. You can grab my free Resume Rescue 101 guide that is found in the link show notes. I want you to go and download that free resource. Then I want you to dust off your resume and do a quick comparison to see if your resume needs some love. If so, I welcome the opportunity to connect with you over a virtual coffee chat. Listen, I always lead with value, so you are guaranteed to walk away with information to help set you up for success. Remember at the top of this podcast, I said that I am the motivational butt kicker. All right, so I'm kicking your butt into going and downloading that free resource, grabbing your resume, and making sure that you are on track for that next big opportunity. I look forward to connecting with you soon, and I'm always rooting for you.
Next up is a topic that many people overlook, but I find incredibly important, your LinkedIn profile. So many people overlook this piece, but a well-crafted LinkedIn profile can bring jobs to you and make the job search so much easier. If you doubt that statement, go back and check out season 1, episode 8 with Carly Shields called Your Pick of Job Offers. Now that we've established how important your LinkedIn profile can be, Rebecca Gunter is here to show you how to spice up your profile so that it gets noticed. Rebecca is a culture maven, brand developer, marketing consultant, and copywriter. She definitely thinks outside the box, as you're about to hear, but make no mistake, the advice she shares will get you results. Even I will be heading over to the hub to grab her guide. It's called Pumpkin Spice Up Your LinkedIn, Embrace a Personality-Driven Profile with These 7 Sweeties. A great LinkedIn profile is a strong personal branding asset, and I'm always interested in ways that I can up-level in that area. So I'm really looking forward to this segment.
Baby, I'm out. I've got a shoot in Prospect Heights at 1:30.
You're going to kill it. Cool if I hang out a little longer and finish this episode of Ted Lasso? This show rules.
Totally. How's the job search going, though? I mean, if we really want to move in together, it's just the skate shop isn't exactly rent money.
But the employee discount is so sick. I don't know how I'd pay for my polycarbonate decks otherwise. I get it. Don't worry. I'm making big moves. Have a great shoot.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Ugh, job search. The worst. What if I just set up a LinkedIn and say that counts for trying today? Yeah, let's do that. It's just like Facebook or something. All right, let's get going. Okay. About me. 420 friendly, shaved, no drama. Nice. Education, student of life. Experience. I like having them.
Stop. Stop, 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 stop. Please stop.
Whoa. So LinkedIn has like a Clippy, like a Microsoft Clippy guy? Is that an octopus?
I'll give you a clue. I have 9 marketing brains, 3 branding hearts, and the copper-rich blood of creative content.
This is a weird online assistant. You got a name, Small Fry?
I'm Octoophilia, cephalopod in chief, brand ambassador, and ocean-related representative. I am a mythical creature, and it's my job to help those who are lost at sea on LinkedIn, orchestrate engagement, and break out boring. And you need help.
You think so? Like, I think I'm kind of killing it.
Boring.
Okay, so I guess while I have you here, Little Miss Eight Arms, how important is my LinkedIn?
Your LinkedIn profile is basically your own personal job search hype man, highlighting your professional presence and experience 24/7.
Okay, so how do I do it good? How do I make a good LinkedIn profile?
Follow my lead, my friend. See that bit of text underneath your picture? That's your headline, and it's really powerful. It's the blurb about you that appears everywhere you do. Commenting, posting, reacting. People see your name and your headline together. It's a tool to spark curiosity in the people who don't know you, but should. Okay, so you're about section. If you fill it with keywords related to what you do, Google matches people's search results with you. So LinkedIn pretty much helps you become more famous and better known on the internet. Next, for the section where you list your past experience, go beyond listing vague job duties. Instead, highlight real individual experiences of things that you did that had a real impact on other people. Tell a story of your experience working, not just your work experience. Volunteer experience. You might not think you have any, but what about the time you helped start a skateboard club at your sister's middle school?
How'd you know about that?
It's in your search history. I know how you Google yourself every day, Blake. Anyway, the point is there's hireable value in the stuff you've done for other people, and this is a great place to highlight it. Finally, at the very, very bottom are sections to list your skills and receive endorsements from others. When you indicate what you do, and other people talk about you doing it, it helps convey to the people doing the hiring that you're the real thing and worth considering for a job.
Wow. For an octopus of the internet, you've been soup's totes helpful.
I try. And you can too.
How can I ever repay you for your sagacious wisdom today?
Connect with me on LinkedIn, my dude. Type in Octo, O-C-T-O, Ophelia, O-P-H-E-L-I-A, and look for the happy octopus.
I can't wait to endorse you for invading internet browsers, Octo-Ophelia.
This podcast segment was written and produced by Tony Pareko of SoundGround Productions. Blake was played by Tony Pareko. Blake's girlfriend was played by Rebecca Gunter. Octo-Ophelia was played by Octo-Ophelia. Connect with and follow Tony, Rebecca, and Octa on LinkedIn.
Okay, so April kicked us off at the top of the hour by reminding us to stay open. Eva's here to help you open up a little more and maybe even imagine a career path that you had never considered possible, a career in tech. If you follow me on Instagram or you're in the Ambition Unboxed Facebook group, then you've already seen my This Little Girl Is Me post, where I talk about how, even though I was always great with computers, I didn't really consider pursuing a career in tech. At one point, my dad even suggested that I look into tech roles, and I dismissed him. I basically said, no, that is not me. I am not a tech person. I ended up in tech anyway, but it was really by happy accident and because another woman recognized my potential. So Eva is here today to say that she sees potential in you. That's right. She's even talking to you humanities majors. Eva's the owner of Eva Reed Consulting, LLC. She has 25 years experience in IT training and project management. She's a DC FemTech Award recipient and the leader of several women in tech and GIS groups in the DC area. She is also one of the mentors in our AU Career Cohort session too. All of that is really just to say that Eva knows a thing or two about what it takes to have a successful tech career. So listen up and let her challenge your self-beliefs a little. Then head over to the hub and download her Critical Skills Finder to see which of your soft skills could help you pivot into a lucrative tech career.
I'm a humanities major from a liberal arts college who works in technology. I work in a highly specialized area of technology, and I'm an expert in data and data infrastructure. We humanities majors are exactly what tech needs, and I encourage you to think about how you can translate your skills into what tech needs instead of worrying about being a programmer extraordinaire or whether you have the ability to stand up a server. Throw this term soft skills in the trash. What we have are critical thinking skills and other important talents that make us indispensable in the tech workplace. I read an article in Forbes magazine recently that talked about how people with arts and humanities degrees bring important abilities to the tech world. I quote, "What makes a prospective employee stand out is their ability to recognize value at the intersection of worlds, innovating from a broad perspective rather than through the lens of a single practice or skill." Technology is always going to change, and traditional tech employees are always going to have to learn, for example, new programming languages to fill jobs. The marketable skills they need will always be a moving target. Humanities majors, on the other hand, learn or already have skills that are already in vogue and always necessary to tech. We need to flip our thinking about our, quote, soft skills and think about them as critical skills instead. Tech companies and IT departments aren't just looking for people who can code. They're looking for people who can be creative, adapt, and really see the big picture. They're looking for people who can interpret tech and make it accessible to the layperson. Critical skills that we humanities types typically have are communication, speaking, listening, writing skills, design, and problem-solving or critical thinking skills. We use communication in presentations, making the case for funding particular projects, and teaching other people how to use technology. Technical writers are important in making sure that everyone understands how to use an application and ensures that all of the important aspects of the project are documented. Some of the best project managers for technical projects are not technical by training, but have amazing organizational and writing skills. Humanities majors excel at designing programs and applications, and we tend to see problems as interesting puzzles to solve, which makes us excellent at problem solving, troubleshooting, and managing risk. So I encourage you to consider the talents that you have and how you might re-envision them as critical skills for technology jobs.
I first learned of Ellen Toomey from her podcast called You Are Techie. As a fellow tech mom, I love Ellen's mission of showing moms the flexible and high-paid work that tech has to offer. Ellen also talks about her own experience as a returnship mom. She understands how challenging and overwhelming it can feel to return to the workforce, especially when you're trying to learn new skills at the same time. I'm so glad Ellen joined us today so that you can see, yes, it can be difficult to pivot into tech, but maybe not quite as difficult as you've built it up in your mind. In this segment, Ellen's going to provide some pointers for navigating a technical interview, but stay close by because much of her advice is around confidence building, which most of us could benefit from. In the Get Hired Challenge Hub, you'll find Ellen's Networking A to Z guide to help you start networking like a pro.
Hi, my name is Ellen Toomey. I'm the host of the You Are Techie podcast and the founder of You Are Techie, where we help moms and women gain the skills and confidence to get hired in the tech job of their dreams. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the technical interview, but stick with me if you're not getting hired in tech because I have some great nuggets about building your confidence for walking into that interview. What I want to help you with is walking into that interview with the right perspective. And here's what I mean. When I was first getting hired out of college, I wanted to impress every employer by honestly pleasing them with what I thought they wanted to hear. And not only that, but who I thought they wanted me to be. Now, I know we're not immune to that, but I thought that it was the way to get hired in the job of my dreams. Like, I'll just be more in the interview. But what I realized is I was unfulfilled in the jobs and honestly a little bit beaten up. What I've learned after being coached and being a coach for women who want to get hired in tech is that the wrong perspective is to impress the prospective employer. Impressing them is not going to help you be happy in the job. And so the perspective I want you to enter that interview room with is not one of, I'm going to crush this interview, but instead of alignment with your future. Here's what I mean. If you develop a relationship with yourself, and I have a really specific strategy to do this. It's called 10 minutes of journaling every single day. I think it's really important for anyone, but especially for moms, because sometimes we tend to lose ourselves and our kids and our families, and that's our identity. But we actually have an identity of our own outside of that. And by growing that relationship with ourselves, we can understand at a deeper level exactly who we are and what we are looking for in that interview. So by showing up for ourselves for the 10 minutes a day to journal on our wants, our desires, our fears, what's stopping us, we will have a better perspective of who we are. When we walk into that interview, we will know what we are looking for from that person, from that organization that aligns to who we are. This is why organizations have mission statements. You should read the mission statement of the organization, and during the interview, you should dig deep on how well they execute it. Because if you believe deeply in the mission of the organization, if it aligns to the person that you are, you're going to find that you're entering a work environment where you're much more likely to have job satisfaction, to be happy in the place that you are. And sometimes my students will, I know when I started out, we'd look at the mission statements and it's like, I have no idea if I would like that. But the way that you find that out is by developing a relationship with yourself. But I told you I teach tech. So if you're like, hey, I didn't realize that this would be so fluffy. Well, it's not. Many of my tech students will tell you it's much harder to develop a relationship with yourself than to develop a prototype for UX or to write code. When in the tech realm, we have this thing called the tech interview. Like, it's supposed to be this big different thing, but really what it is they want you to demonstrate your skills in front of them. And so to show up to that interview confidently in the tech interview, but really in any interview, what you should be doing is the same process that you are doing on a daily basis. If you're practicing your new skills, even if it's not your current job, if you're practicing your new skills every single day, just like you're developing your relationship with yourself, albeit for more time, you're probably developing your skills. That's what should be happening in the interview. You should be talking about those things that you're already doing every day. And if you can do that, then I want you to forget about the job posting and whether or not you are checking every box. That is irrelevant to showing up confidently and, hear me very importantly on this message, effectively communicating your value. Ladies, that is the key to making more money. And I desperately want to see you make more money. It is important. You deserve to earn your value, and communicating that value is very important. And this ties into confidence. And confidence is a concrete skill that you can learn and practice by doing the two things I just talked about. Showing up for yourself, developing your relationship with yourself, journaling, knowing who you are, what you like, that's one piece. And then showing up for yourself to develop the skills for the new job that you want. Not perfection, not knowing every detail, just showing up repeatedly so that you develop a comfort level with those skills. So if you've done that, if you grow your skills and grow your relationship with yourself, then it's the employer who should be nervous when you walk in that interview, not you. I want to leave you with this quote from one of my favorite podcast guests. Her name is Pamela Culpepper. And she says, "I'm going to give you the opportunity to hire me. You've got this."
Okay, so if we've successfully convinced you to consider a pivot into tech, or you're considering pivoting into another area, then it's time to do more mindset work. I know we're saying that a lot today. The pivot, though, can be really scary. You're trying something new, and while that's exciting, it's also uncharted territory. Don't worry, Tina's here. Tina Unruh is the founder of Selfish Mama LLC. She's now a life and mindset coach dedicated to supporting working moms as they design their life from the inside out. Before founding Selfish Mama, though, she had a 30-plus year career that encompassed private, government, and entrepreneurial sectors. And she was even ranked among the top 1% of FBI leadership in 2017. Tina is also one of our mentors in AU Career Cohort Session 2. Tina's going to bring us back to that delicate line job seekers walk and remind us that while it's good to be open and to even be open to a little magic and evolution, it's also good to know when and where we need to be selective. Tina's going to pull from her own pivoting experiences to show us how we can get our stress under control during a pivot so that we can enter our new career with confidence. After the episode, head over to the Get Hired Challenge Hub to download Tina's workbook, Score the Job of Your Dreams, 5 Essential Mindsets to Navigate Career Transitions with Confidence.
Hi, my name's Tina Unruh. I'm a life and mindset coach and the founder and CEO of Selfish Mama. I am passionate about helping women live a life they love, and our careers undoubtedly play a significant role. Now, when I say mindset, I mean our thoughts, our internal chatter. During any big transition, such as a pivot in our career, there's inevitably going to be stress. And that stress, I promise, isn't going to be limited to the tactical requirements of researching jobs, going on interviews, and analyzing the offers and negotiating salaries. It's also going to take shape as mental stress. And that can look like imposter syndrome, internal criticism, anxiety, and more. To alleviate some of this mental stress and afford you more bandwidth to actually execute the tactical efforts of pivoting your career, whether that be to a new job in the same field or to a different one entirely, here are 5 mindsets to help you score the job of your dreams. Number 1, I am selective. When under stress, we can forget our agency and our ability to be at choice. So make a list of your priorities and values and the reason that you are choosing to pivot your career in the first place. Also note the essentials you're seeking from an employer or from the pivot itself. Having clarity of this information will help you retain focus as you navigate this change. Number 2, I am capable. Imposter syndrome is real and it's impactful. Head it off at the gate by reminding yourself of the experience, skills, strengths, and knowledge or training that you have to offer to an employer. Important side note here, we women tend to be reserved when it comes to how awesome we are, even inside our own minds. This is not the time to be bashful. If there's ever a time to be honest about how much you have to contribute, it's now. Number 3, I am open-minded. Being open-minded means to be flexible and creative in your thinking and/or in your approach to getting your needs met. If you're seeking increased income from the pivot, keep your options open, like accepting a sign-on bonus or more vacation time in lieu of a salary that you're seeking. And if you're changing career fields or departments even within the same organization, be willing to reimagine how your prior experience, strengths, and training might be leveraged or of value. Number 4, I am resilient. Pivoting in your career is not an easy feat. Enter this process knowing that it'll have ups and downs, and it'll require trial and error on your part. Doing so can help keep you afloat when and if you hit the bumps in the road. Trust in your ability to persevere through the challenges, and also in your ability to figure things out along the way. Number 5, I am excited. Most don't know that excitement and fear show up in the body in the exact same way. The only difference is the language we use to describe that feeling in our body. So if you feel the lump in your throat, the queasiness in your belly, the tension in your shoulders, and you tell yourself that you're nervous or scared or anxious, I invite you to reframe it and tell yourself that you're excited. That you're excited for the opportunity to submit your resume. That you're excited about the opportunity to interview for the job. That you are excited to negotiate a salary or benefits. It may just change your energy and make you feel more empowered in the moment. I hope you found these mindsets helpful as you prepare to pivot your career. Although silent, our mindset is incredibly impactful and can motivate us on our best days and hold us back on our worst. I encourage you to leverage these mindsets and adapt them if desired, to gain the clarity and confidence you deserve to score the job of your dreams. I'm rooting for you.
Enter Anna Davalos. Anna is a member of AU Career Cohorts and had an impressive career in broadcast and online media, including as an Emmy Award-winning producer, all before she founded her own video production company, Alejo Media. In her segment, Anna's going to give us advice on lighting and all the video considerations that go into showing up as our best selves in a remote interview. We're sharing the audio here, but I encourage you to head over to the Hub to see the video version because her advice is even better on screen, as I'm sure you can imagine.
Here are some quick tips to look good on camera for your remote interview. Always look into the camera, not at the person talking to you. You're going to look off camera if you do. I know it's hard, but you need to practice this. Whether you're on a computer or on your device, practice looking at this little camera right here. Put a little post-it note right here that says, look here at this camera. Number 2, practice your answers. Think about questions that you think might be asked of you. Search for questions that have been asked of other people, and then think about what you would ask if you were the one interviewing. Practice those answers. The more you practice, the more comfortable you're going to be. Number 3, wear a little lip gloss, wear some makeup. Lights are really harsh, and you want to make sure you look your best. Remember, your makeup is not going to look as vibrant as it is in person. Speaking of lights, always put the light in front of you. As a matter of fact, if you have windows, face the windows. Natural light is great. Turn off the overhead lights. And more than anything else, practice, practice, practice. Make sure you have a decent backdrop. Also, log in early. Make sure you like how you look. And if you don't, quick, go fix whatever it is you want. Practice, get there early, practice your answers, look at the camera. You're going to do great.
All right, we are nearing the end here. This next segment was actually inspired by this community. There seems to be an increase in awareness that career coaching is a thing, and that's great. Still, I've had a number of people reach out recently and ask whether or not I thought that they should get a career coach. There still seems to be some confusion about what exactly career coaching is. So I asked Lisa to give us a little more context and help answer that question for everyone. Lisa Woodroof is a career strategist and owner of The Purpose Strategist. She has a master's in global organizational leadership and communications, and her work has been highlighted in several publications. Lisa will walk us through when we might want to consider hiring a career coach and how a career coach can help. In the Hub, you can find her guide under the same name so that you can walk through it at a slower pace when you have time. Oh, and in case you're wondering what my advice was in all those different recent interactions, in a nutshell, I think whether or not you decide to hire a career coach is a really personal choice. There's no one-size-fits-all yes or no answer. The support we need and the way we get it it varies from one person to the next. Coaching can be a really helpful and valuable activity. If you decide to go that route, get a clear understanding of the scope of services, check to make sure that your personality is a good fit for the coach you want to work with, and above all, I recommend you trust your instincts.
Hello, Get Hired Challenge Waymakers. My name is Lisa Woodroof, also known as the Purpose Strategist. The question that I'm going to bring to you today is, should I think about hiring a career coach or strategist, and how could they help me? There's lots of advice out there on LinkedIn, generic Google searches. It all can be a bit overwhelming and full of opinions, right? And so hiring a career coach and or strategist will help you to find clarity on getting to the goal that you're looking to achieve in your career and professional search. But here are the flags. If you're saying any of these statements, you should probably hire someone. One, if your resume isn't getting you interviews. Lisa, I've applied in 60 places and I haven't had one interview yet. If you question your career pivot and or change in this thriving market, when I say pivot, maybe that is speaking more directly to, I've been an HR professional in this industry, but I'm looking to move that expertise over to this type of industry. If you're looking to do a really big change, get someone to help you be very successful much sooner with that. If you're not leveraging relationships first for your job search. Now, if you're like me, you're the cube in the back, right? You're a bit of the introvert. Your brain behind it, right? And you wave like, hello, extroverts out there. I'm in my comfort zone over here. But let me just share with you that over 80% of jobs are actually filled through networks and relationships. And that could be a friend gives your resume to someone in an organization or someone from a civic organization that you've maybe even volunteered time with has shared with you that a certain type of position has become available. So it's leveraging sometimes not even your first level network, but it extends a little bit further. But it is a viable path and you really should be incorporating this into your entire strategy for making this big change in this season. So a career coach and strategist can help you find not only more comfort with that, but a path of success for that. And the last one I'm going to share with you, if you're saying something like, all of this is insanely overwhelming, first of all, that's a completely viable statement. We don't career change every day, every week, every month. How can you be an expert in something that you don't get a lot of practice in? Career coaches and strategists network with recruiters, industry experts, professionals. They're engaged with many labor and statistic reporting mechanisms. Hiring a professional can really take out the noise and really help you to hyper-focus on what you want to do and achieve. Now, what's criteria to look for in this person? References. I keep my references in LinkedIn. You can see my prior clients and what they have to say about their working relationships with me. But you really should be vetting this person. And so one criteria is that there is some sort of online presence that you get a window view into what they're doing, what they're saying, and what their recommendations are to some sort of preview capacity. Next is consider someone in the industry, niche, or even with the expertise of career changing as a career coach, as a career strategist. Those people that have those niches or focuses on, let me give you another example. Let's say you just want to get that promotion this year within your organization, right? It isn't always professional in the sense about leaving to go somewhere else in your job search. But career coaches and strategists can actually really help you to be more of a thriving and happy individual in the place that you are already at. Look for the niches. Look for the specialties. Take advantage of the free discovery call and really make sure that, you know, you have that connection. Make sure you have that real human connection with that individual. Lastly, ask for a coaching scope. You know, what is inclusive of our work together? Will this include, you know, either teaching me the process of writing my resume into the translation of skills and experience and my compatibility scores? Does this include a LinkedIn audit? You know, do I get a metric strategy? Will I learn how to leverage into networks and relationships? There's a broad variety of approaches, okay? But what you're going to want to really understand very clearly is what is inclusive of the work that you're doing with that career coach and or strategist. Now, if we flip the coin a little bit, what shouldn't you invest in? If you're not willing to commit to the process, it's not a good time to make this type of investment, okay? Because there is a major driving force for you to have a stake for this. It's not just going to come to you because you've handed a transaction over to someone else. You're going to really have to get to know how to execute yourself differently and a little bit more intentionally as well. The coach has that online presence, right? Don't hire someone that you can't confirm their validity with. We would never want to have a sad situation of a sour transaction in general. If there's no synergy in that discovery call or that connection call or that initial let's get to know each other to see if we would be a good fit call, the light bulbs should shine like a lighthouse when you speak to this individual. You should find a lot of your story, of your situation resonating very quickly and immediately. And that person is just in tune with not only what they see that you may need in the scope of services, but just from a personality perspective that you guys are going to jive for the best success. So today I've shared with you reasons to hire a coach. Okay. I've shared with you the criteria to look for and also the reasons to not invest in a coach. I look so forward to seeing everyone around the Get Hired Challenge community. I wish you all the best in your professional pursuits. Get hired soon.
If you're a longtime listener to the podcast, then you may remember Meg Sitnick. She helped us kick off the podcast with the lessons that she's learned navigating the Good Old Boys Club. Meg is the founder of the VIP Travel Girl and the creator of the Pandemic Traveler's Promise, which asks travelers to commit to 8 essential travel best practices so that we can help reunite the world safely through travel. Meg is here to help you tap into your motivation when the going gets tough. She recently realized a transformational life goal, and she will be the first to tell you that it was not all sunshine and rainbows. Job searches often have their rough patches too. And Meg's wisdom can help you look within to find the motivation you need to keep going. In the hub, you're going to find an infographic that accompanies this segment, which I recommend you grab to use as a journaling prompt when you need the extra help.
Staying motivated through tough times is arguably the biggest hurdle we all face in pursuit of our personal and professional goals. You know, oftentimes when I'm setting a new goal for myself, I think back on this quote from an American author, James Lane Allen. He quoted, "The vision that we glorify in our mind, the ideal that we enthrone in our heart, it is what we will build our life by, and this we will become." You know, and I really chew on that a lot because it's so true that everything that we do with intention, you know, this will be what we build our life upon. And so, when I think about things in terms of my goals, you know, I have to ask myself 3 very critical questions. And these 3 critical questions are questions I want to ask you to consider as you think through situations in the past where you may have lacked motivation or areas where you really need to dig in and find that motivation. But to be clear, to maintain that motivation, you know, being clear on the number one thing for me is, what is your want? You know, being clear on what you want is half the battle. You know, if you're involved in something or you're tracking on a path towards something and it's not what you want, you're moving in the wrong direction. And so it's important that we ask ourselves this question just from the jump. What do you want? And what does that mean? What do you want for your personal space? What do you want for your professional space? What do you want for your long-term career? Are you retooling and deciding to get into a new market? Or are you deciding to break back into the workforce? You know, there's going to be a lot of questions you need to answer yourself, but the biggest one is, what do you want? You know, my mother used to tell me, you can want in one hand and you can pray in the other. But when I think about my wants and then I start thinking about my needs, you know, it's like I can want in one hand and pray in the other. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we have to begin to ask ourselves this next important question, and that's, what are our needs? I mean, we've got to consider the following. What tools and resources do we have to rely on in order to maintain the momentum we need? And we have to be really honest about this because, you know, the people we think that are going to be supportive of us, they're not. They got their own stuff going on. It's really the people that you least expect are going to be there. And this is where really identifying what you want and what you need are so necessary in achieving your goals and staying in that space of momentum. Because you need to be able to draw in the right resources to help you achieve your goal, to help you get where you're going. We can't do it all ourselves. This is a whole team approach kind of thing. And there's a third question that I really want to put out here, because we all have this. We have tons of them. And we don't often ask this question. So I'm just going to throw it out here. What are your expectations? Because let me be real clear. If you don't think your expectations are the first thing to enter any room, situation, or circumstance, you need to really think about that, because expectations are those one thing that always seems to show up to the party first. And expectations are always the things that derail us. Because when we don't put in the proper time and energy and commitment to the daily tasks that we need to be focused on to maintain that momentum through the tough times, then when we get around to these expectations, they're just unmet. And that's not good for us. So I want you to be asking yourself, what are your expectations? Because in this whole process, if you can identify what your wants, your needs, and your expectations are, you are well underway to making the right decisions to overcome any hurdle that comes in your way. You're equipped to take on those moments where motivation seems lacking. Those are opportunities for you to get focused and go back to that list and say, I know what I want to do. I know what I need to do. And this is what I expect will be the outcome. And you're going to partner and you're going to pair and align yourself with the best tools and resources and the people you need to help you achieve your goal. And if you don't know that person, or you find that that person isn't in your circle or your network of people, you're going to go and you're going to reach out to them, and you're going to reach out to them, and you're going to tell them why. And why you think it'd be a great fit for you guys to connect, at least talk, take a coffee and talk. Create your motivation by understanding what your wants, your needs, and your expectations are. Maintain your motivation. Let it run through and take you all the way to the finish line for your goals. Good luck.
All right. That brings us to the end of our first ever Get Hired Challenge. If you find the challenge helpful, let us know. Perhaps we'll make this an annual thing if enough people find impact from it. To get the resources mentioned today, remember you need to go register for the challenge at gethiredchallenge.com. And once you do that, we'll send you information to access the challenge hub. And that's where you're going to find the resources library, the live Q&A schedule. And that's where you can also go in and request a resume review or a mock interview. The challenge does run throughout the month of October, and you can join at any time. We'd also love to hear how your job search is going. So pop into the Facebook group and tell us all about it. We hope this challenge has provided you with actionable advice and a sense of community to support your job search. I want to say a special thank you to April, Jennifer, Rebecca, Eva, Ellen, Tina, Anna, Lisa, and Meg for giving their time and knowledge to this effort. Until next time, have faith and best of luck. I'll see you at the top. That's our episode for today. Thank you so much for spending the time with us. If you found today's episode helpful, please pull out your phone and share the link with one or two friends that would also benefit from hearing it. If you really loved it, please leave a review in iTunes to help others find the podcast. Itching to meet other ambitious women? Connect with members of our community online at the Ambition Unboxed Facebook group. Ambition Out Loud is produced by Cultivate Inc. LLC. Today's music is by Steve Rice Music. Until next time, remember, your ambition is a beautiful thing.
I'm gonna go down swinging. There'll be a tale to tell. Like a boxer in the ring, I'll give my everything until I hear that final bell. Well, I'm gonna go down swinging, whether I'm right or wrong. I know without a doubt, until the lights go out, you're gonna